Star Trek, our favorite frontier. These are the podcasts of Aaron and Polly, their ongoing mission to explore all things Trek, to seek out cool things and pick them apart, to boldly complain as no one's complained before.
And this is Paul.
Welcome back. Star Trek with Aaron and Polly, Strange New World, Season 2.
We warned you. We said we'd be back.
Yeah, who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? True to our word for the first time.
Who knew that was a thing?
So, Paul, I'm curious. You know, I feel like we should have a catchphrase, you know, for when we start the podcast. And, you know, Captain Picard had Engage.
Our thing, like when we're sitting in the captain's chair.
Yeah, Captain Michael Burnham, she's, you know, let's fly. You've got you got Captain Pike, he's all hit it. And we found out this week in Strange New Worlds that Spock has his own personal flair as well. What would be ours, Paul? So like when we're ready to engage the podcast, when we're ready to hit the podcast, what's our phrase, Paul?
It's not, hi, I'm Aaron. It's not that.
It just doesn't seem quite juicy enough, Paul.
Do you have any ideas? I don't know that I have any ideas.
I don't know that I've got any ideas either. You know, Let's pod.
Yeah. Let's pod. There you go. I like it. Let's pod.
Yeah. Let's pod.
Bam. I feel like we just came up with you. Well, if we,
yeah,
I take 50% credit.
Well, it is Star Trek with Aaron and Polly. So, it's kind of like a marriage, right? You know, we share everything.
So that's what we, exactly. So we say that at the beginning of the podcast, you're saying.
Yeah. I think, you know, before we cue up the music, you got to go, let's pod.
Let's pod.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Sign me up for it.
Yeah. Let's pod, registered trademark.
Don't steal it, other podcasts.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well,
it's been, you know, since the last time we spoke.
Uh-huh.
Since the last time we spoke. Let me use proper grammar. Uh-huh. There has been quite a bit going on in the Star Trek world, not so much in the realm of news. It's not like we've gotten anything announced other than a new video game, I think.
That new video game looks hot.
It does.
Are you talking about Resurgence?
Yeah, I'm talking about Resurgence.
God, Resurgence looks so hot. I literally almost, Paul, literally almost went out and bought a new console. Because I'm aching to play Resurgence.
It looks pretty solid.
It does look really good. It's getting good reviews, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, looking at it, got like a 7 out of 10 on IGN. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm deeply interested in playing Resurgence. Now, I know that I'll buy a console, buy the game, and, you know, get through an hour of it. And
I was going to say, that's going to be that's like a $600 video game.
That's right. That you're signing up. That's exactly right.
But I actually wasn't referring to Resurgence now that I'm looking at it. I'm actually referring to Star Trek Infinite.
Oh, yeah. I saw some of that. I'm not nearly as well versed in that one. Tell me about Star Trek Infinite, Paul.
Well, it's a grand strategy game beginning decades before Star Trek The Next Generation and available on PC this fall. I don't know what a grand strategy game encapsulates, but, you know, the art shows, you know, a younger Jean-Luc Picard. It shows some Cardassians. It shows some Romulans. It shows some Klingons. Infinite puts players in command of one of four major players in the galaxy, the United Federation, Romulan, Cardassian, or Klingon Empire. Each major power possesses individualized traits, stories, quests, and more to make their play feel distinct. Send fleets to explore the Alpha and Beta quadrants, manage an economy, and navigate diplomatic endeavors. So I don't know. I don't know if it's like StarCrafty or...
Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me.
Certainly sounds like it.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't sound nearly as much fun.
No, I'd rather just shoot some stuff. I don't need to go that crazy. And did you see that Star Trek Picard, the final season, is coming to Blu-ray, DVD, and a limited edition Blu-ray steelbook case, as well as a Star Trek The Picard Legacy collection box set.
I had not seen all that, but I did see that in the weeks after the Star Trek Picard season 3 finale, it was in the it was in the top 10 streamers for several weeks. And it's the first time any of the new Star Trek shows have, you know, bumped into that top 10, you know, of all streamers, not just Paramount Plus.
Right? Wow. That's awesome.
That is awesome. I mean, it's gotten a lot of play, and, you know, it is much more wildly popular than I think any of the executives at Paramount thought that it was going to be.
I would agree. I don't think they intended for it to hit
as much as so hard. I feel confident that we're going to get a Star Trek Legacy announcement. The question is when.
Maybe Comic-Con? Because that's maybe Comic-Con. In a few weeks, right?
Yeah, maybe Comic-Con is what I'm thinking.
You know,
because they didn't do it on Picard Day this week.
They did not. So. They did nothing on Picard Day except an Instagram post. You know, I'm looking at I struggle, Aaron.
Do you? Do you struggle? Is the struggle real, Paul?
God, every day. but I struggle with purchasing something that is readily available on a streaming service.
Same.
It has crippled my purchase of Marvel movies, and TV shows and things like that. But Star Trek Picard, the final season, like I said, it's coming to Blu-ray on September 5th. Includes 2.5 hours, over 2.5 hours of special features, including behind the scenes featurettes, a gag reel, and never before seen deleted scenes. And I'm like,
But you know,
a lot of that stuff is it says exclusive, at least for now.
But you know, all that behind the scenes stuff is crap they showed you in the ready room.
Yeah, I thought that, but it says exclusive.
Yeah,
maybe they're lying.
Yeah, I think they are.
And you know, just because I'm looking at the article, on October 17th is that Picard Legacy Collection, which includes Star Trek: The Next Generation seasons 1-7, Star Trek Picard season 1-3, and all 4 Next Generation movies.
Oh wow! How much is that? What's the retail on that?
It doesn't quite say in the article, but it includes 35 hours of bonus features, 54 Blu-rays. Wow. So I'm going to imagine it's expensive.
Yeah. I have not picked up Next Generation on Blu-ray. I had it on DVD. But when they did the upscaling on it, when they, you know, when they made it HD, I have not picked that up yet. That might be a good time to do that.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I'm tempted to buy that Picard final season on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wait for a Black Friday deal or something, but you know, the bonus features, it's one, like I said, I struggle to purchase things that I can like literally pop on Paramount Plus and watch for free or included with what I already pay for.
Right.
But this stuff, I like the bonus. I want to check out the bonus features.
Same. I bought a Blu-ray set the other day. And I just, you know, like yourself, I'm just not buying as much physical media as I used to. But this is one of those things that you can't get streaming anywhere. I mean, I don't think it's available anywhere. It is Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. It's the HD release.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century with Mr. Gil Gerard is a little campy. But there are some of the episodes that I just love, and you can't beat that opening credit sequence. I love the opening voiceover with Orson Welles. I love the whole music piece. Watching Gil Gerard do his dance in the 2-hour season opener, series opener, is fantastic. I love that show. It is such a niche kind of thing. And also enjoying all of the recycled special effects from Battlestar Galactica that are in it. But yeah, I did. I bought it, and I'm cruising through the series right now. There's only 2 seasons of it, but you know, back then they were making 22, 26 episodes a season, so that's quite a bit of television to watch.
Yeah. I actually purchased a Blu-ray myself recently.
What'd you get?
You're gonna laugh.
Oh, of course I'm gonna laugh, Paul.
I purchased Super Mario Brothers.
The new one?
The new one. I enjoyed the movie. It had some bonus features, and it included the digital copy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I enjoyed the movie. I will probably rewatch it. My niece will, will watch, will benefit. My family will benefit from the digital copy because, you know, the digital copy is through Movies Anywhere, and you can sync Movies Anywhere with your Apple account, your, Amazon Prime. And so if you share any of your passwords with any of that stuff, you know, my family can basically access anything I have a digital copy of. So, I mean, that honestly, the cost of it was more than worth it for me and my entire family to have enjoyment of that movie.
I was traveling for work this week, and the television in the hotel room I stayed at had Chromecast built in. And let me tell you I love that feature. I wish every hotel did that.
Very few have that level. Some of them will have like YouTube or Netflix built into the TV, but you know, I want the Chromecast. Just let me, you know,
same. Let me just cast from my device to it because I don't want to enter my password into your television set.
Exactly.
You know, I really don't like that. And even though it's supposed to clear it, you know, when you're done, I don't trust it.
Yeah.
You know. But I love being able to, because I've got my, like you said, you know, my Movies Anywhere. So I've got the stuff that, you know, I have the digital rights to. Also, I've got all my streamers. So, you know, I can, you know, stream Prime, AMC Plus, Hulu, you know, everything. So it was great. That made my trip a whole lot more enjoyable. When I'm, cause I, you know, there's never anything on cable TV that I want to watch. And you know, cable TV is just so gross. So anyway, I love that. I love that. I got to watch me some Han Solo or Solo, a Star Wars story.
You can't talk about Star Wars on this podcast, Aaron.
I know, but I did. We'll come back to this when we talk about Strange New Worlds, but I kind of feel like we're watching a Star Wars show in Strange New Worlds.
Oh.
But, yeah. But so there's a little bit of flavor text for you.
Okay. Foreshadowing.
So you want to talk about some comic books, Paul?
Yeah, you know, like I said, since the last time we spoke, there's been a decent amount of comics that have been released. I think since the last time we spoke, we've had additional, at least two issues of Star Trek Defiant, two issues of Star Trek, and an issue of Dog of War.
It's the Borgie book.
The Borgie book.
Uh-huh. So which one you want to start with? You want to start with Star Trek, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, The Dog of War, or Star Trek Defiant?
Let's talk about Star Trek.
My least favorite of those books.
It's funny because I feel the opposite. Well, no, let me clarify. Not the opposite. The Borgie book, it still remains my favorite of the three. But at some point, for me, the Star Trek book and Defiant flipped, mm-hmm. and now I find myself enjoying Star Trek more than I'm enjoying Defiant. But it sounds like you feel the opposite.
Well, I'm tired of the Sisko story, and I really want to be enjoying the Sisko story. But I struggle with he still doesn't feel like Ben Sisko to me. There is, you know, he is on trial for war crimes committed against the Cardassians during the Dominion War, which, mm-hmm. you know, is a little bit ridiculous since the Cardassians were instigators along with the Dominion in that war. But, you know, he's a bad, bad guy, apparently. And while in his cell awaiting his, you know, very predictable guilty verdict, the ghost of Gul Dukat shows up. You know, ostensibly sent there by the prophets to chastise Ben Sisko. Now, I'd like to point out that, you know, we shouldn't be seeing a ghost of Gul Dukat. He was thrown into the fire caves with the Paw Wraiths to stew there for eternity. And he's not supposed to be able to get out of there. Any part of him is not supposed to get out of there. And so all I can think is that Ben is losing his mind, that this can't possibly be, you know, any kind of messenger from the prophets. And, you know, this wasn't like a regular prophet representation where one of them is in the form of someone Sisko knows, but they're talking as the prophet to him. No, this is Gul Dukat in ghostly form having a Gul Dukat conversation with Ben Sisko. And so I think if they're playing fair, this has got to be a hallucination on the part of Ben Sisko.
Very possible.
And again, I just don't feel like this is the Ben Sisko we knew from Deep Space Nine. And I'm really kind of fed up with that. I like everybody else in the book. I just really am bothered by the way Ben Sisko is portrayed in the book.
I could see that. I mean, I definitely struggled with it at first. I feel like either I've gotten used to it or something about it has changed for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that we've gotten a little bit more time with some of the other characters, like Crusher and Data and
Shax.
Shax. Yeah. Now Shax, for sure. Shax is a definite highlight in this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think one of the things I prefer about this book to the other book is I think I prefer the cast. Like, the other book has a smaller cast,
mm-hmm.
and they're all kind of portrayed as basically just not friendly. And I get it. They're not. That's the whole mm-hmm. point. Like, they're the black ops, we hate everybody, we hate each other kind of Star Trek book. But I just don't I don't like the feel of Defiant. And I feel like the adjective list Star Trek book is has turned into more my jam. Now, that being said, I pretty much hated the first 5 issues.
Yeah.
So it didn't turn around, I think, until issue 5.
This book would completely turn around for me if we had a different version of Sisko in the book. But his whole sacrificial lamb thing at the end of this issue, mm-hmm. where he's like, you know, if my death will turn you guys around and help you find your inner Cardassian, yeah, I'll go ahead and submit myself to execution. I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, this is not Ben Sisko. Ben Sisko isn't a lay down and sacrifice himself for a bunch of people that aren't worth his time. I mean, he is very much, he'll take the hit if it you know, saves people he cares about or people who are of value. But every single Cardassian on the page that we've seen, with the exception of Garak, is worthless. And there's no reason for him to die like a Christ figure to redeem them. And I'm just like, this isn't him. This isn't him. He's a fighter. He'd keep on fighting.
So talk to me about why you prefer Star Trek Defiant.
I'm feeling judgment here, Paul.
I'm judging.
You know, maybe it's because, and I think Defiant has its own problems. Like, I do not care for, and this is going to be strange because I love the character in general, but I don't care for him in this book. I don't care for the presence of Spock in this book.
Yeah.
It seems really off. He seems like he is acting out of character. Him deciding to reanimate Lore and give him arms and legs, I don't feel like the crisis that he was facing at the time, you know, really warranted that kind of, you know, crazy action. And his whole monologue in this book about, you know, maybe I'm insane, you know, Spock's monologue about maybe I'm insane, maybe there is, you know, a chaos element to my logic, yada, yada. I didn't care for that. I also, while I very much enjoyed the banter between Ro and B'Elanna in the previous issue, their dialogue with Lore is weird. I mean, it is really strange and how they're, you know, responding to him. And I get it, you know, Lore is crazy. And even when he's acting sane, he's crazy. But, yeah. You know, there's a lot of this, them sort of, you know, agreeing with Lore, you know, each of them going, right, right. And, you know, that they keep coming back to that in, you know, additional panels, right, right. I don't care for it. And this, and I'm giving you reasons I don't like this book when you ask me.
Well, I did ask specifically, yes.
Yeah, but the green alien with the mohawk who is treating Worf, and, you know, Worf has got two of his ventricles are collapsing out of his 8-chambered heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, well, you know, if they continue to collapse, they could bring down your remaining 6 ventricles, yada, yada. But yet, you know, he's walking around with a hole in his chest throughout the entire book, and she's performing triage and a little bit of surgery on him there in the captain's chair. That all seemed rather silly to me. But I will say I like how the character of Worf is portrayed. I'm a little interested in Lore, more so than I thought I would be. And I love, and this I think will shock some people, but, you know, spoilers, Sela, Romulan Obsidian Order officer Sela, Tasha Yar's daughter, shows up in this
book. Yeah, you know, well, here's the thing. And so I do have a thought about that. Because I don't, I, I've full confession, I don't read those exposition pages.
Right.
I declared that a few issues ago. I'm like, they add very little to the story. But, you know, in Defiant, there's one that very clearly mentions Sela.
Yeah.
Earlier in the book. And so, you know, they make this this grand shock at the end on the last page that Sela is there. And I'm like, you already kind of revealed that earlier in the book. And well, I think one of the things I dislike about Defiant, I think the thing I most dislike about Defiant is that the exposition adds nothing to the book. And that's something that they have almost none of in the other Star Trek book. I mean, they have the pages, but I'm more referring to the narration in Star Trek Defiant. You know, like an issue will be narrated by Spock or by someone. And I actually find that they're overly wordy. You know, they quote books and stuff like that, which is fine. But if I didn't read them, I don't feel like I'd miss any of the story. And so, you know, and on top of that, you have the giant pages of exposition. And so I feel like that's where I struggle with Defiant, is that it's overly wordy for no purpose.
Right. It does. It did read a lot longer than the other books.
Yeah.
I like the character Sela. I enjoyed her in The Next Generation. I'm happy to see her here. I think the reason why I like Defiant more than I like Star Trek is that I'm not frustrated by Ben Sisko the whole time.
Yeah.
I think that it's not that I like it more, it's that I dislike it less. did you see the preview cover for next month with Sela?
I did.
That I can't find the credit on it, but I think that's Stepan Sayek.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't heard anything out of Stepan Sayek in a while. I think he's been doing sexy books.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of sexy books, and I follow him on Twitter, and that's a lot of what he posts. But doesn't that look a lot like his work?
It could.
Oh, wait a minute. There is a signature down there now that I'm way zoomed in, and it is not Stepan Sayek. I can't read the signature, but it's not him.
All right, well, we take it back.
Yeah. But anyway, I like that cover. It looks good. And I've disliked most of the covers on the Defiant book because they all seem to be digitally manipulated and not well.
Yeah, I find the art a little bit inconsistent in Defiant. And I've talked a little bit that I don't love the Starship art on Defiant. I find the characters just a little stiff,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's just partly because the artist has a gray gland-ish,
mm-hmm.
Probably photorealism to his mm-hmm. art.
Yeah.
The characters aren't like moving very fluidly to me. But anyway, I mean, I know I'm complaining a lot. I didn't dislike Defiant. I just, out of the three books, it is my least favorite. But out of the three books, the Borgie book continues uh-huh. to be my favorite.
And
the thing about the Borgie book that works so much better than the other books, and perhaps it's because it's a Corgi. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the stakes in this book feel like things you care about.
Right.
The characters feel within character. The voices feel like the voices you want, you think these characters have. Like, it gets the feel right and it gets the stakes right.
Yeah.
And I feel like with these other books, I don't really get a sense of suspense or danger as much as I do with, oh no, what's going to happen to Laddie, the dog? Yeah.
That good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
Sisko's like, let's go get our dog back.
That's right. That cover, I did a double take on the cover because I'm like, why is Green Arrow in this book?
It's a crossover, Aaron.
Green Arrow is stealing Laddie.
You have failed this space station.
Yeah, I really like this book. You know, I'm going to be sad when it's over because it's just a whole lot of fun. You like everybody here. I continue to be deeply amused by the Hollow Dog Park space station deep space canine.
Right.
that tickles me. You know, Quark, who knows that there's a taxidermist involved in the acquisition of this corgi from his nefarious buyers. Has been stressing about what's going to happen to, Latinum when he gets picked up by the brokers. And so he's having nightmares about, you know, other dogs and, you know, what's gonna happen, you know, to Laddie. I like the characterizations in this book. I think there's some really nicely drawn pages, particularly where Worf is tracking the brokers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really nice use of darkness and light, you know, very chiaroscuro, pushing the darkness. I really very much enjoyed the visual storytelling here. And I think it's, you know, it's just levels above what we're seeing in the other two Star Trek books.
It is. Which is funny to me because I thought it was a silly concept, but it is just so effectively written.
Yeah.
And drawn.
Yeah.
It's kind of got the best of both worlds.
Not, you know, pun intended, because there's
Borg. Pun intended, right?
Yeah. I love how, you know, Sisko is all about, you know, we've got to go retrieve the Borg equipment that was stolen by the brokers.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get the dog. You know, he's making the case that, you know, his crew is the only crew that can, you know, effectively employ a stealth model. You know, they're in their cloaked Defiant ship, you know, that they can get in, get out. They're a tactical, they're, you know, a really good sort of, you know, special tactics group, yada, yada. Plus, we want to get the dog.
He's like, we're going to save our dog.
I love that sort of manipulation there. The only thing, I was kind of amused, they do this panel where it's sort of the heroes march to war as they're getting ready to go to the Defiant, mm-hmm. and everyone's armed. You know, you see Miles and Dax and Kira all with phaser rifles as they're marching to go board the Defiant, and then I guess put those things away because they have to fly the ship. I was just like, why do you have your guns out?
You could have kept them in a box or just hung over your shoulder.
Or just use the ones that are on the ship. You didn't need to bring your own. It's not BYOG, you know?
Well, maybe it is, Aaron.
I was just cracking up because, you know, then you see them sitting at their stations and like, well, I don't see your guns. What'd you do with your guns?
It's under the desk.
Yeah. Where are your big ass phaser rifles?
Just in case, Aaron. Just in case.
Yeah. Well, Paul, you know, we've warmed up with some delicious Star Trek.
Yeah, comics. I'm all loose.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're all you're all ready to go.
Yes.
I won't make it any more crass than I need to be, but you're all juiced up, ready for a good time.
I won't make it any more crass, but
basement flooded. Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 1, The Broken Circle.
The Broken Circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to lay it out. I'm going to put it out there on Front Street, Paul. I'm like, you ready?
Okay.
Hated this episode.
Wow. Yeah.
Strongly disliked this episode.
Wow.
This was not Star Trek in a lot of ways.
I don't know that I was going to go for hate. I was going to go for it was fine. But talk to me.
First off, I need Star Trek to learn how to do a cold open again. This thing that we have in the streaming age where the first, you know, the preamble to the show, the cold open, I won't call it the first act, because it's not really, but it's this extended period before you get to the opening credits, you know, before you kind of, you know, eyes to camera, transition to opening credits. This went on for a very long time. You know, we had the whole, it really should have been, the way I would have edited this episode is Captain Pike says he's got to leave the ship so he can go get an attorney for Una, for number one, and, you know, puts Spock in charge, and, you know, Pike says, don't worry, you're in dry dock. You're not even going to have to leave. You know, you're going to be here the whole time. It's not going to be a problem with you being captain. And, you know, Spock says something like, I wish that were true, or, you know, I have my doubts, whatever that it is that he says, where he expresses, what do you bet I have to, you know, leave dry dock?
Yeah.
That's when you go to opening credits and then the rest of the episode. But no, we take it all the way through. We've got to steal the Enterprise. And it just took so long in that opening segment to get there. But that's a minor frustration based when taken into consideration that it's your opening episode of the season, and you're number one on the call sheet, Anson Mount, Captain Christopher Pike, is in the show all of 3 minutes.
Yep.
That is some fucking bullshit. That is some bullshit. I'm just like, what the hell? You know, I mean, I appreciate that they've got an ensemble cast, but we all tune in for Captain Pike.
You know, and they said that, I mean, obviously, it was a conscious decision to give the rest of the crew a little bit more dedicated time so that everyone gets a little bit of time, take Pike off for a few episodes, because apparently he's loose in the first two or three episodes.
I think that's silly. I agree.
He's your captain, right? That's what people watch for.
And then this is where, I mean, I was fine. I was just irritated, but I was fine, right? Until we get to Carol Kane.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I know everyone on the planet other than myself worships at the altar of Carol Kane. I don't. You know, I know Carol Kane from Taxi when she was Mrs. Lotka. I think her name was Simca on Taxi. I remember her from The Princess Bride, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have fun storming the castle. I don't see her as a serious actor, although I did really enjoy, I'll amend that. I enjoyed her in Hunters. I thought she was great in Hunters.
Is that the Al Pacino show?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was in that. Is that a good show?
Have you not seen it?
No.
Paul.
I know, I'm ashamed.
It's Nazi Hunters.
I know. I need to watch that shit.
I have not finished the second season. I started the second season. It did not grab me, but the first season's fantastic. And she's in it, and she's fantastic in it. But I don't see her, particularly the way she's portraying this character, she just doesn't strike me as a Star Trek actor. And, you know, it feels like stunt casting, and it feels like stunt casting detrimental to the show. I really hate the voice she's affecting. I really didn't the voice.
I got to tell you, the voice things bugged me.
Yeah, bugged the shit out of me.
And I'm like, what if I mean, here's the thing. I don't mean to be insensitive.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be insensitive here for a minute. But for a second, I felt bad at first because it felt like maybe she had had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But then they comment that it's an accent.
Uh-huh.
Because she kind of talks as if she has been through some type of traumatic event, and you know, the speech is just a little bit slower, the inflection's a little off, but apparently that's intentional.
Yeah. No, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it did not work for me. She does a lot of animated voice work, and I think that that voice is great for a cartoon. It is not for a live action Star Trek series. And I think it's great that she is such a working actor. I mean, if you go and look at her IMDb, Paul, I mean, she has worked steady for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, she is a working actor, and I really admire that. But what I do not admire is the portrayal in this character, and I do not like the addition of this person to the crew. And I'm cringing because we're going to get her all season. You know,
I didn't mind her. I actually thought, I mean, the voice didn't work for me, but I don't know. You see Carol Kane, this is basically what I expected from Carol Kane.
And here's what I did like is I like that, you know, we're putting a woman in engineering. Mm-hmm. Even though, we've had Jet Reno over in Discovery, you know, this felt a little more intentional in certain regards. But I don't care for the portrayal at all. I mean, I like that they're making a big swing with a character. I just hope they're able to rope her in a little bit, because she just seemed too much, particularly when playing against some rather smoldering performances elsewhere in the cast.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I was unhappy before. Then my opinion started to shift downward, and it went on a deep, deep, deep plunge when Dr. Mbanga and Nurse Chapelle take their super soldier serum and become superheroes fighting in the false Federation ship. And, you know, the hallmark of Star Trek is we fight when we have to, and it is just a little bit of fighting. You know, Star Trek fights are always very short, and this went on and on like it was.
It was a pretty significant fight sequence.
Yeah,
and it went like 10 minutes of fighting.
Yeah, it was like an episode of Daredevil.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, they make a big deal. Like if you watch the Ready Room this week, they make a big huge deal that Babs, the guy who plays Dr. Mbanga, is like some sort of Brazilian judo fighting champion guy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, really has the chops. And so he was deeply involved in the choreography of the fighting. And I'm like, well, it's too bad you couldn't see it. You know,
yeah.
Because so much of it was dark. I mean, they make such a big fucking deal about how cool these fight shots are. Well, you slowed all the action down, and you couldn't see it because...
Yeah, I mean, it really just kind of looked like people throwing each other around in the dark.
It looked like garbage on the screen. So on the one hand, I'm annoyed by the fact that, well, this isn't what Star Trek does. We don't just have slog fight out stuff like it's a Star Wars show. And we are generally able to see what the fuck is going on. Turn on a goddamn light. You know, okay, hold on. Before you throw that punch, do you mind if I just turn on the lights? There we go.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to have happened. The production of it just really steamed me. And so by the time we get to the end of the episode, I just really felt like it was a wasted opportunity. And, you know, having spent so much time with the first season of Strange New Worlds, having watched it and then gone through a rewatch, I'm like, you know, you guys didn't do this elsewhere. Why did you choose to do this here? It made no sense to me, and I was super annoyed by it. So, yeah, I did not care for this episode. I was deeply disappointed. I was all boned up, ready for a Pike, you know? I mean, I was all ready for Christopher Pike, and I got him for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I will say that I don't know that I would have gone with that choice for your pilot episode. That's like your three episodes in, maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe then you have some ability to be a little loose. But in your season pilot, you know, in your season premiere, you have to have your key player.
Yeah, I think in your season premiere it should be your template show. I mean, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be innovative and that it shouldn't be compelling, but it should be, this is what our show is. It's a captain working with his crew, you know, exploring strange new worlds. That's what it should be. And yep. Then you go and you break out and you have that other episode. But, you know, when you've been waiting a year, and man, I can't wait for some more Captain Pike and his crew. And you get no Captain Pike.
No Captain Pike.
That felt kind of like a Scroogey. Just saying. And I was really hoping they would resolve the Una stuff sooner rather than later.
That's going to resolve in the next... I'm going to guess that's going to be in the next episode or two.
My guess is 3 or 4 episodes.
Oof.
Yeah. I think it's either episode 3 or episode 4. But still, that's too much. Because, you know, my two favorite characters we got for 3 minutes. My second favorite character is number one. And we got very little of her last season as well.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those things I don't understand. So, well, Paul, what did you think? I have bitched upside and down.
I mean, here's the thing. I thought it was an okay episode. I struggled with many of the same things you did. I thought it was an odd choice to take Pike off. You know, I love Nurse Chapel. So, yeah.
I felt like you were enjoying the Jess Bush scenes and really enjoying some of that Nurse Chapelle.
Yeah, she can beat me up. But, you know.
I did like her line when Spock is performing chest compressions on her and she finally comes back around. She says, "Why you got to be so rough?"
Right.
I was like, that's a great line.
Yeah. I will say I struggle for me. And you know, it's just one of those things that it is becoming more and more evident that you have to remove yourself from the canon of Star Trek to enjoy Spock's interpretation in this series. Mm-hmm. Because Spock is so emotional in this show.
I can excuse that. Within canon, I can excuse that because, you know, he was very emotional in The Cage. The original unaired pilot. And I think if you hold it within that context and you carry forward his emotional journey, you know, he learns how to box that stuff back up.
Yeah. You have to justify it that way.
Yeah. But my problem is that he and Nurse, where I have to just go, okay, I'm just going to have to live with that. He and Nurse Chapel did not have a relationship before the original series. You know, that is fully a construct of this show. You know, they met each other. We never saw it on camera, but they met each other in the Captain Kirk 5-year mission. They did not have a pre-relationship. Nobody knew about Spock's, betrothal to, you know, to T'Pring. You know, none of that. That is all where they have readjusted canon. And that's something that I'm just like, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go because otherwise I'm enjoying this show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to let it go. But it does frustrate me how intimate they are letting these two characters get when they never had that level of intimacy in the original series.
Yeah. And they're definitely skirting those edges as much as possible.
I think they're just going right over those edges. It would not be surprising to me that this unrequited love becomes requited.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. I think there's going to be some requiting all over her face, neck, and chest. That's all.
Oh, my God.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
I'm a Star Trek podcaster.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Guess what we're going to do next week?
Are we going to talk about Star Trek Strange New Worlds Episode 2?
We are, and while we're doing it, we're going to be drinking a Star Trek beer.
What?
Yeah, our friends over at the Federation of Beer sent me a couple of cans, and so I'm sending you one, chilled. And
you're going to send me a chilled can?
I am.
Is there some dry ice in that package?
There is.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I am.
Oh, snap.
I am. It's coming at you. I don't think I'm going to get over to the mail center today, but I will on Monday. And so you should have it in time for our next recording.
Okay. Exciting.
We will pop those cans on the air.
I mean, it is currently 10:04 a.m., 9:04 a.m. your time. I cannot wait to start drinking at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
But, honey, it's for work. It's for the podcast.
That's right. That's right. It's for, let's pod.
Let's pod.
All right. Well, hey, Paul, good show. Good show. It'll even be a better show next week with beer.
Usually. Beer does make things better.
That's right. Beer is the universal balm.
Yes.
So, anyway, well, we'll do this all over again next week with suds.
Yes. So in the meantime, let us know what you thought of the season premiere of Strange New Worlds. Hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or you can hit us up. Oh, wait. We don't have an IOM Geek hotline, do we?
That is correct.
Okay.
Google has screwed me for the last time. So we no longer have a phone hotline. However, you can reach us on Paul's phone.
That phone number is 1-900 star.
Yeah. Now hit us up on IOM Geek on Instagram, Twitter. You can email us at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We will see you next week.
What a deal.
Bye.
Star Trek with Aaron and Polly is a production of IOMgeek.com. Have a question or comment? Hailing frequencies are open at
ideologyofmadness@gmail.com.
Tribble wrangling provided by Triskelion Trays. No troublesome tribbles. Mr. Aponte's wardrobe provided courtesy of Garrick's Clothiers, conveniently located on the promenade.